We heard Ryan Anthony performing the Queen of the Night aria in a trumpet version with members of the Canadian Brass Ensemble. And it's my pleasure to welcome Ryan Anthony into our studios at KRWG 90.7, along with conductor Lonnie Klein of the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Ryan Anthony, you're the trumpet soloist this week with the Las Cruces Symphony, and you've got quite a career as an orchestral first principal trumpet with Dallas Symphony, many years playing with Canadian Brass and Burning River Brass.
Correct.
And probably some other ensembles, and a solo career, and you teach, and you've edited music. You're like the complete musician.
Well, I guess that's up to others to decide, but I enjoy it. There's just so many projects, and for me, that's my outlet, you know, is to share music, and it's hard to just sort of put it into only one category. And it's one of the things I love about trumpet, that it can go from the orchestra into the quintet and the chamber setting, the solo setting, and I enjoy also passing that on to the students and being able to work with them and let them know, too, that there's so much opportunity out there and how important that music is. And society has always used it. We always will need it. And there's so many ways to be able to express oneself through music.
You started pretty young, I assume. I know by 16 you had won a major competition.
Yeah, I grew up, my whole family's musicians and played musical and brass instruments. So it really wasn't an option of, are you going to play, but what are you going to play? So I actually started on violin, and I was horrible. And, my mother was a cellist, and it was important to her, but my grandfather played trumpet, and I loved it, and I would sit in the hallway and listen to him practice, and I just knew it one day I wanted to be like him. So when I was 8 years old, I told my dad I wanted to play trumpet like my grandfather, and he was a music teacher, so he had a trumpet in the garage, and he brought it out, gave me a first lesson there in the living room, and that was it. So I just played along, and every holiday, that's what we did as an Anthony family. We made our own little group, and we'll go around caroling, and we just played. Huh. We just played all the time, and I just figured that's what every kid did with their family. So it was just part of our household.
And where was that?
In San Diego.
Oh, caroling in San Diego. So there wasn't a lot of snow on
the
ground.
No, we're able to go out, at all times of the year and days. So, yeah, so we would go out and play outside.
And are there other members of the Anthony family that are playing?
Absolutely. Everybody still is. My brother plays French horn. He's still in San Diego and freelances professionally all around there. My father's retired, but he's still doing a lot of conducting with community bands and orchestras and working in the schools. And same thing with my mother. She's still privately teaching. And my uncle's still active freelancing as a trumpet player and work teaching in high schools in Orange County. And yeah, it's still in the blood and continues, and I'm trying to pass that on now. My kids are involved in school band programs and theater, so it's just, it's what we do.
That's great. It's a musical dynasty. This weekend you're playing the Haydn, two pieces, the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, one of the cornerstones of the trumpet repertoire with the orchestra, also Quiet City by Aaron Copland, another cornerstone. You also have published some editions of Haydn and Hummel. Mm-hmm. Was it this Haydn Trumpet Concerto that you published?
Yes. Yeah, I did an edition several years ago, and it was more for younger students trying to introduce them to this piece. I mean, this really is the beginning. This was the first piece that introduced what's now become the modern day trumpet. And when you look at the whole history of music, we're a pretty new instrument, but it is kind of nice to say that the very first piece ever written for us happens to be an incredible composer, such as Haydn. And so I like to introduce it historically. It's really captures a time and place. And I wanted to give them the insight and the philosophies that I have with it and how it should be approached, not as a necessary modern day trumpet that you would pick up and play in beginning band, but really what this represents, the importance of the piece and looking at it truly as classical music. And then there's a play along CD. And I remember as a kid trying to play along with all the LPs, but at the beginning, everything's too fast. And so I tried to make one that's, you can hear me play it in my tempo, and then you can play it along a little bit slower, a little bit more, so that the beginners, everybody has a chance to play this wonderful piece of music through all stages. Hmm. So, yeah.
And how's the experience different now than 5 or 10 years ago and 20 years ago playing this famous piece? Like, how do you keep it fresh and new?
Well, one of it is when I'm performing, I feel like I'm trying to communicate with the audience. And as you go through life, you have more experiences and more things that you can bring to the table and to music. The second movement of the Haydn, to me, is an aria. And so therefore, as you live through life, you have different titles of the song that you want to sing, different things that you want to express. You get a better idea, I think, of not necessarily the solo trumpet part, but the orchestration and how that changes the solo part. And that was my biggest difference, how I perform it now than how I did in college or even high school, is the looking at it more of as a complete orchestral work. It's a solo, but I really think of it more as almost a sonata. It's a conversation equally important between the orchestra and the trumpet. And without that dialogue, I think you miss out on a lot of what Haydn was trying to share with this premiere of this new instrument. So it changes, and that's why you want to listen to a bunch of different recordings, because everyone has interpretations. They have things that they want to say. And as an artist, I feel like that's my responsibility to figure out, to take sort of this blueprint that Haydn gave me and then figure out what I want to say with it so that the audience can feel some emotions and the same that I feel on stage.
Let's talk a little bit about the Copland, too. And Lonnie Klein, if you want to jump in on any of this, please do. Copland is a piece with a very different mood. Mm-hmm. Quiet. It's called Quiet City. It's like walking through New York at 2 a.m. or something like that. Yeah. But tell us some thoughts about Quiet City. Well, as a piece for trumpet.
You know, the most interesting thing for trumpet is the fact that he pairs it with English horn. We were just talking about it yesterday. If a composer came up to me today and said they wanted to write a new piece of music and for trumpet, English horn, and strings, I would tell him, well, that's a horrible idea. That's impossible. That'll never work. But Copland was really genius in the way that he was able to write it and to have that dialogue between these two instruments that you would never think should be paired together. But actually, it works beautifully. And mostly because of the colors that he uses in the strings and the pacing of the piece. And so that's the hardest thing, is just like the Haydn, you have to get beyond what you would stereotypically think is the modern day trumpet and make it just another voice with that color, to be able to play with strings, to be able to play with the woodwind, to be able to play in the setting of Mozart as Haydn would. But in here, the Copland City is a chamber music. And there are some loud, powerful moments, but it's very thoughtful. And it's another one of these pieces that you can bring emotion to the table, and it can change as you go on through life. And I want each person in the audience to be able to get something, you know, individual from them that they can hear into this piece and leave thinking, wow, that was really emotional and intense. But to pair it up with just strings and an English horn, that's the technical difficulty and the typical Copland writing of the large leaps and skips. And but it's a beautiful piece. I think it should be done more often. And I was thrilled to be able to do it here, and it works perfectly with the Haydn, because they're both so important in the history of trumpet in orchestral literature as a soloist.
Yeah, I was thankful when I was talking to Ryan's manager. The Haydn's only about 20 minutes, and I was hoping, okay, I'd like, instead of doing an encore, really pair it up with something as a couplet and something unique. And, you know, this is a 300-year span, basically, between, you know, the Haydn and the Copland. And it gives the audience a real different sort of timbre to the trumpet, because there's a certain style that you're playing the Haydn with. And then, of course, there's a most definite distinction with the Copland. And the music, as Ryan said, is I think it's very introspective. It's based on an Irving Shaw play that wasn't very successful for Copland, but it's about a man who is really sort of questioning his you know, where he should be in life. So it's very introspective. There is some powerful moments, but the dialogue the timbral dialogue between the trumpet and English horn is really nice. And of course, you know, you pair it up with just strings, no percussion, no woodwinds, no other brass. It's really quite a beautiful piece, and it's very Copland-esque. You know, as Ryan mm-hmm. said, the leaps and the fifths and the fourths and the octaves. And it was his early style period. I think it was written in 1941, I believe. So for that play, which, as I said, wasn't very successful, but thankfully this lives on.
Who's playing the English horn?
Oh, our principal oboist, Rebecca Ray. And she'll be on stage, not in the orchestra. So it really is a dialogue between the trumpet and English horn. And the timbral effects is really unique.
Mm-hmm. So explain timbre.
Timbre, what means tone or color, and a lot of people in the audience may not realize, but there's certain things that you can do, even on the piano, certainly, but on a trumpet, you know, if it says sotto voce, in a hushed voice, or sometimes I might say with a white tone, or no vibrato, or pesante, heavy and accented, or staccato, but there's ways to change the color of the sound, much like a singer, and you need to be able to do that as a musician, because so much music requires a personality and emotion, and you really have to understand maybe what Copland was trying to say in this piece, and then you can do that on an instrument. Particularly, you know, string players especially, but you know, it's amazing. Ryan will be playing maybe a piano, pianissimo, crescendo, up to another piano, and an octave leap. So that the timbristic effects are quite extraordinary, actually. And the range is pretty high. I mean, the English horn is playing at the very bottom of the register at times. It's got that real sort of earthy kind of sound. And then, of course, she plays very, very high at times. But it's very melodic, and as I said, it's the dialogue with the trumpet. It's really a unique pairing. You would mm-hmm. not think it was going to work, but it's just masterful.
Yeah. Ryan Anthony, you have let's just tell us a little bit about experience playing, particularly with Canadian Brass, which is such a famous ensemble, and they do so many interesting, so much different kinds of music, from the Baroque and early brass fanfare music to the Beatles and beyond.
Well, I was a fan of Canadian Brass early on. In fact, my brother, who's older than I, plays French horn. We started a brass quintet. They were in high school. I was in junior high, and we basically paired it to be, you know, Canadian Brass. We would go out, and every time any of their music was published, we would buy it. And we would go and practice in our dining room and try to get it going. And then we auditioned, and we started playing all around San Diego and SeaWorld and even up in Disneyland, just running around, having fun, playing good music. It was transcriptions. And one of the things that Canadian Brass, what I loved, is you never make fun of the music. You have fun with the music. And that really registered to me as a young player, to be able to have fun. You work so hard, you practice so hard, you focus so much, but the point of doing that is so you can enjoy it, and in return, the audience enjoys it. I've never played with an ensemble where before the first note you even play, the audience will be full, the energy is so high, and they're already forgiving because they know they're going to have a good time. And I never felt like you had to prove yourself when you're with that ensemble. Of course, they've been around for so long, so they have already proven themselves, and the audience goes there, and they know what they're going to expect. And so it was incredibly intense in the sense of always trying to play at the highest artistry, trying to stretch the boundaries of what brass instruments can play, like you said, from doing transcription of the Four Seasons or Toccata and Fugue to doing the Beatles and Duke Ellington and everything in between. And yet we knew the time to be very serious and the time to have fun with the music. Probably one of my highlights actually is when we were traveling, it was after 9/11, when everything was so sort of dark and serious here in town. We changed our program a bit to lighten it up and have some fun. And we were worried that nobody would want to be able to go out. And I was amazed every place we went, it was sold out because people wanted to be able to be somewhere else for about 2 hours. and music was the way of doing that. And we would do a tribute always in some seriousness, but then also have fun doing Carmen or Hornsmoke and doing something else and get the laughs. But we treated everything, whether it was Dixieland or Bach, with the same high quality, the best we could possibly play for the audience. Because Canadian Brass, really, that was their thing. Everything was based on the audience. They deserve the best. So I was really taken by that. We would be on the road 200 plus days a year and 150 more concerts, and but yet every single one we rehearsed beforehand. What can we do to make it better? Because we thought the audience deserves the best we can give. And that was very, very educational for me as well, to think that here's the top group that still is a student of the art and trying to constantly perfect it. So I enjoyed it, and I loved doing the traveling and seeing different people, and it's, you get the energy from the audience, and that's why I enjoy looking forward to this weekend. I love playing in the symphony, but to get a chance to get in front, and we're playing in a very intimate, wonderful hall here, that you're part of the audience. There's not a barrier between that, and I don't think there should be. And too often in classical music, I think people think that you just go and you sit, and then there's the performer. It should be everybody reacting together, and that's why I love getting up front and being able to see the audience and smile at them and laugh with them and be serious with them, be emotional. And working with Lonnie, the one rehearsal we had last night, I can tell it's that same philosophy, and it works. It's going to be a wonderful concert for everybody, and the style of music is easy to listen to, and there's going to be, everyone's going to have a favorite tune, and everyone's going to be whistling when they walk out with a smile on their face. And that's what music needs to be.
You know, it's been written in some of your reviews, your capacity to connect with the audience. And it's clear that both in Canadian Brass and on your own, that's a really important component of any performance for you. And it should be for every performer.
It should be, you know, and ironically, it's probably the hardest, because we practice so much on our craft that we want to take control. And yet, to do that, you have to let yourself be vulnerable, and to stand on stage and say, okay, this is who I am and what I am, and allow them to make their judgments whether they like you or not. And that's a hard thing to do, to let go. But I think it's, emotions are contagious, and ultimately I think the audience enjoys that genuine feeling and relationship. And but that's how I always go about it, and why I'm so much looking forward to this weekend.
Ryan Anthony is my guest on Intermezzo on KRWG, and trumpet soloist with the Las Cruces Symphony this weekend. Tonight is an open rehearsal, Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. So you were talking about the range of music that Canadian Brass plays, and you have a little bit of that in this new CD that you brought around with Gary Beard on the organ. So just tell us a little bit about this CD. I don't know when it was issued. But
we did it several years ago. And that particular one, it sort of represents what we do in our concerts. We do a lot of traveling, and what I love about the organ is it can be as big or as small as you want it. And we do a lot on piano as well. But it's fun. We do a lot of transcriptions, just like in Canadian Brass. We'll do a lot of vocal stuff, Queen of the Night, also Rachmaninoff Vocalise, various other arias. And yet then we can do some of the Baroque concertos, where he'll do the orchestrations in the organ part, things with band where he can play. We just have a lot of fun with it, and trying to see how far can we push that box of good music. And there's obviously, you know, new music that's written that we try to do as well. But and especially with the organ, I mean, if I want to do something really big and bold, he can do it. And if I want something really nice and small and intimate, we can do that too. So it's a venue that I enjoy playing with, and we've worked together for many years. And we just have a lot of fun. And so that recording basically sort of represents what our concerts are. It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Basically, yeah, we're the Canadian Brass of the organ.
That's kind of like our concert this weekend. A little bit of this,
really
a little bit
is.
Of that. It's 300 years, starting, you know, with the Haydn, and then Mendelssohn, and then Respighi, and then Copland.
Yes, the Scottish Symphony of Mendelssohn, and
yes, the Third Symphony,
and the Ancient Airs and Dances of Respighi.
Yes, the Second Suite. So we'll start with the Respighi, and early 20th century composer, died I think in 36. Wonderful piece based on Renaissance pavane. madrigals. He's sort of fascinated with the Renaissance period. So there's a lot of nice dance numbers. It's strings and small smattering of winds, no percussions. It's lovely writing. Then we'll do the Haydn, and then we'll come back with the Copland intermission, and then we'll close with the Mendelssohn Symphony. So, you know, as I say, it's sort of a hodgepodge, but I think It makes sense musically, and I think it's interesting, and we don't normally do a lot of 18th century symphonies, so This is a real challenge. It's difficult symphony, actually.
What I found fascinating listening to your rehearsal last night is, yeah, the four composers are so different, and yet the instrumentations are relatively all very similar.
Yes, that's correct.
And when you're talking about the colors that they make, that's very fascinating, I think, to the audience, too, to see that they're very distinct languages, and yet the same instrumentations on stage, and yet you get a very different feeling and emotions from each of them. And that also shows the real mastery of those composers and the musicians and what you're doing with it. So it's a treat. Everybody needs to be there.
Thank you both for coming in today. Lonnie Klein's been my guest, conductor of the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. Ryan Anthony, soloist this weekend in concerts. There's an open rehearsal tonight at 7:30, tomorrow night concert at 7:30, and Sunday at 3 at the Atkinson Recital Hall. Great to talk to you both.
Thank you very
much. Thank you, Leora.